Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When we started this whole process, it was about putting ourselves in a position for annual contention. And there certainly is an enthusiasm in that coach's room and in that clubhouse that that period of contention could conceivably begin this season. But as you look around this camp and you see the guys that are not only here in terms of the veterans, but some of the young prospects that are coming behind them, you see that, you know, we've gotten this into a position where certainly brighter days are ahead, and we're probably talking brighter years, not brighter months.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Oh, brighter sounds good, doesn't it?
It does.
Yes, and that's Rick Hahn, and we're delighted to welcome in Josh Nelson. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. And Josh, of course, hosts Sox Machine podcast, The Sox Machine. You can go there and get all your information. Our buddy Jim Margulis has been on the program. I think this is the first time we're talking to Josh, who does a great job. Good morning, Josh. How are you?
Good morning, Josh.
Good morning. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Thanks for having me on. And nothing screams baseball than the weather in Chicago this morning.
Oh, boy. How about it? Enjoy your commute, everyone. Leave early. If you're just listening, get in your car. So, Josh, I listen to your podcast all the time. I listened to it back when you were at the other place, and certainly now with Sox Machine, you guys do a remarkable job. I love the breakdown you do of the minor league players too, and my first question to you is, as we look at these guys coming up, Luis Robert, I can't wait to see him. I had a chance to see him at camp last year. He hit a triple the day I was there, so I'm very impressed. But when we get beyond Madrigal and Vaughn, and you guys start doing a deeper dive, this thing is top-heavy. It's not like they're set up to be bringing up players for years to come. They really have kind of – some of these guys have bottomed out a little bit.
This harkens back to a conversation I had with Jim Callis of MLB.com at the winter meetings this past December in San Diego. And he and I had a very tough time in December coming up with a top 10 White Sox prospect list. Because it is kind of a cliff after Andrew Vaughn. And at some point this year, Kopech, Robert, and Madrigal are going to graduate. And we both agreed that this upcoming draft class is going to be exceptional. And it's going to be very deep. And whoever the White Sox take 11th overall probably is going to be their second best prospect in their farm system. And this kind of goes back to the pre-rebuild for the White Sox player development efforts. And they just struggle to develop internal talent. And, you know, outside of Madrigal and Vaughn, everyone else that they have acquired that's in Chicago has been traded for.
Right.
And I think this is a pretty pivotal year for Chris Getz as the director of player development. He has made some personnel changes. He has shifted guys throughout the minor league system to get better coaching at every single one of the levels. The teenagers that they have gotten, whether in the draft or through the international signings, have a lot of promise. But again, they're still young. They're 17, 18, and not a lot of them have played stateside baseball. So we're still unsure on what their ceilings are truly going to be. Jorge Vera, the recent signing, the 19-year-old from Cuba, that technically won't sign until July 2nd.
Right.
He's a nice addition. But yeah, all these college players that they have selected from 2015 to 2017 just haven't done much. And it's either because of injuries have gotten in the way or they have underachieved. I mean, last year, if you asked me this question, I would say, look at all the White Sox outfield prospects. And then they all went to Birmingham and they all ran into a brick wall and they all performed pretty poorly. So that's going to be one of the pivotal things watching the White Sox minor league system as far as their player development is to see who bounces back, But the players they have in Chicago, especially like Luis Robert and Nick Madrigal and Michael Kopech, there is no doubt. These guys are average to maybe superstar type of players that they have added. And it's far more important, the talent they have now in Chicago, than what they have in Birmingham and Charlotte. And that is so refreshing to say and pay attention to after the last 3 years of White Sox baseball.
Well, Josh, as somebody who studies the White Sox as closely as you do the major league team, how would you assess your level of surprise at the Pecota projection that the Sox will win 83 games this year? I thought from here this seemed a little low, but I might have gotten carried away with the fact that they won the winter, they won the offseason, and 83, I would have taken the over. But what was your surprise level?
So back in December, I wrote about the White Sox home run problem. In 2019, they had the third worst home run differential in franchise history, which was at negative 56. So they gave up 56 more home runs than they hit. They only hit 182. They gave up 238. When you're playing with the bouncy ball and the Minnesota Twins are hitting 300 plus home runs, and your team can't hit 200, you got a home run problem. So the good news is this offseason, Rickon has addressed that. The projection models think the White Sox could hit 250 home runs in 2020, which would set a new franchise record, beating the 242 home runs hit in 2004. The projection systems, though, are not high on the White Sox run prevention efforts, both on the starting pitching front and on the defense. So I've gone through the projection models, and I'm thinking the White Sox may score anywhere from 800 to 850 runs. I know that's kind of a wide range, but they may give up 800 runs as well. And that's why the projection systems look at the White Sox as being a 500 team. And there's been a lot of conversation of what can Rick Renteria do with his best talent ever coaching, because he's only coached rebuilding teams. I think this is a critical year for Don Cooper. Don Cooper really needs to figure out Dylan Cease and Ronaldo Lopez. He needs to figure out how his pitching staff can only give up 700 runs. And I think those are the magic numbers. 800 runs scored, 700 runs allowed. Because if you can get into that 100-run differential, you're going to put yourself at 90-plus wins. And if the White Sox can get it to 90-plus wins, they're going to have a very serious chance of winning the American League Central. But if they don't win the Central because the Twins' offense continues to be legit and they're going to be close to 100 wins, they're going to be in contention of making the wild card and finally snapping this postseason drought they've had since 2008.
Lopez in particular is such a riddle and enigma. I mean, it's how do you break that code? Because, you know, we thought he was better than Giolito. And then Giolito makes the breakthrough, and here's Ronaldo taking a step back last year. What does he have to do to get better? And, you know, I think Cease looks pretty good to me. I think he was running into one inning, and he may get past that.
Yeah, to touch on Dylan Cease real quick, his problem was the first 25 pitches. He had a very tough time starting games. But after the 25th pitch, he seemed to get into rhythm. And speaking of Met Sox Fest, he knew that he was cutting his fastball and it was tailing up and away. His front side was flying open, and he said that he's made some corrections in the offseason to fix that. We should not see the poor fastball command that he had in 2019. But back to Ronaldo Lopez, something that he said yesterday meeting with the media is that this offseason he worked with Lucas Giolito in Los Angeles. So we'll see what kind of payoff he's going to have from working out with Lucas Giolito in the offseason and try to take away some of the things that Giolito did last year. But when you're looking at the StatCast numbers, as far as with Lopez, he's a one-pitch pitcher. It's his fastball. His changeup is not good. The slider is not good. The curveball is not good. And the first thing that he said was, well, I'm trying to improve my spin rate on my fastball. And while that would be great, because he throws that pitch about 60% of the time, you can't make it very long in the major leagues if you're just a one-pitch pitcher, unless you're Mariano Rivera and you have adopted his cut fastball. But he was a closer that pitched one inning at a time. If you want to be a starter, you need two other pitches. So in spring training, I think that's what the focal point needs to be. Has Lopez worked on his changeup? The slider's better than the curveball, in my opinion, but some say the curve's better than the slider. But if he doesn't develop those two pitches, he's not going to make it very long in the major leagues.
Josh, Rick Hahn said yesterday that now is the time of year when all the players are reporting to spring training and there's very little pressure around them. They have a very captive audience to talk extensions. And if you're talking contract extensions with the White Sox, you're looking at basically, I think, two guys at the top of the list, Yoan Moncada and Lucas Giolito. Who's most likely of those two, do you think, to sign an extension this spring training, or is there somebody else that might jump to the top of the list?
I think it's Yoan Moncada. And my reasoning is, and this is my opinion, this is no inside information, with a little bit of peer pressure. He's seen Eloy Jimenez sign a long-term deal. He's seen Luis Robert sign a long-term deal. He just saw Jose Abreu, his mentor, sign his second contract with the White Sox. And by the way, the White Sox have now signed Jose Abreu to 9 years worth of contracts for over $110 million.
Wow.
I think he may be looking at that. And he just switched agents. So that's a great question. Why'd you switch your agent, Yoan? I think he is most likely, and I think he's the one that's worth the 6-7 years, $100+ million. A contract very similar to the one that Alex Bregman signed with the Houston Astros. And for those that don't know that contract, how it breaks out is that the Astros bought out the arbitration years for Bregman. He's going to make about $11.5 million the next 3 years instead of going to arbitration. And then after the arbitration period, his salary bumps up to $28.5 million for the next 3 years. I could see something similar for Moncada, where he makes $11, $12 million for the first 3 years of the deal. But the back half, he's making $28 to $30 million a season, which is unheard of for the White Sox to pay any type of player. But if they're going to take care, if they're going to spend this type of money, and they're going to take care of one of their own, I think it's going to be Moncada, and I think he's worth the $100+ million. For Giolito, I think what works against him is that Luis Severino and Aaron Nola signed some very team-friendly deals in which the Phillies and the Yankees both got them for 4 years, $40 to $50 million, and that kind of hurts Giolito. But I think what would maybe help Giolito is the type of contract that Zach Wheeler got. So while Giolito may not get a contract extension offer this spring training, if he does as well as he did last year, then I could see the White Sox and Giolito sitting down and try to come up with a 4 to 5 year contract next offseason. But if it's between those two, I think it's Yoan Moncada, and I think it's time for the White Sox to get over the barrier and commit more than $100 million in a single contract. And if they're going to do that, I think it's most likely it's going to be one of their own.
Josh, thanks a ton. We should let our listeners know they can follow you at SoxMachine_Josh. And, of course, the podcast is at SoxMachine Podcast. Really well worth a listen, as you can tell from what Josh had to say today. Thanks a ton, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Josh.
Hey, no problem. Have a great day, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.